हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविर्विशावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 7, biographical sketch of Srila Jiva Goswami. As adults, the brothers proved extremely competent scholars and managers. But so that means when you have this, where you have someone who's that brahminical, that they have that scholarship and they have that managerial ability, that combination, and the tradition is called Shrikarya, like that. And so you generally see them in three kinds of positions. One is that they are the, let's say, the secretary to the acharya, like you see Sarup Damodar for Lord Chaitanya, right? So they know the things and they deal with all that kind of, because they can organize, manage, at the same time they'll deal with all the standards and all that. The second level that they would function at would generally be like, you know, head pujari or, you know, the festival pujari, the ones that can manage, and at the same time they are just doing the direct puja. So in other words, they're doing the brahminical activities as managers for the deity, right? So they manage, they're Brahmins who manage for the acharya, they manage for the deity is the second, and the third is they manage for kings, so they're ministers, right? So the ministers in a brahminical position, but they have the ability to function and organize things, take portfolios within the organization of the kingdom. Does that make sense? Like that. So these are your three, you could say, kind of main areas of application of the Shrikaryas. So it's very much, you can see, is a natural thing in our lines, because it's the Sampakatan mission. So therefore you have the institutional aspect and you have the brahminical aspect. So the two go together quite well. Yes?
It's interesting, Lord Chaitanya established all the six Goswamis, all the six who are from this big family already doing that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Because in Sri Rangam, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, they were the head pujaris.
All the six of
them. Yeah.
Okay. Big guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Big families. Too.
Big family. So like this combination, you see, it's very much our tradition. So it's not a problem. Because sometimes, oh, you're a manager, or you're not. No, the thing is this is both. You manage within the brahminical context.
So that's your Brahmin also?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You would do like that also. You know, and then you have the others who are like Yudhishthira Maharaj, where he's brahminical mood within the Kshatriya context. Right? I mean, see, he's a big man, he does that, but he's inclined in that way. Okay. Impressed by their ability, the Mughal tyrant of Bengal, Nawab Hussein Shah, compelled them into government service. That's why we use the word tyrant there. He compelled them. Amar was appointed the Nawab's prime minister. Santosha, the chief assistant minister, and Vallabha, the state treasurer. In this way, the Nawab freed himself from military expeditions by turning most of the responsibilities of governing over to the three brothers, who established a residence in the town of Ramakeli, near the Nawab's capital in the present-day Malda district of Bengal. It is in this place that Srila Jiva Goswami was born. At this time, the three brothers were also awarded the title Mulluk for their government service. Footnote 4. Srila Prabhupada comments in this connection. Our personal family is connected with the Mulluks of Mahatma Gandhi Road in Calcutta, and we often used to visit their Radha Govinda temple. They belong to the same family as we do. Our family Gotra, or original genealogical line, is the Gotama Gotra, or line of disciples of Gotama Muni. And our surname is Day. But due to their accepting the post of zamindars in the Muslim government, they received the title Muluk. Just as the English government gives rich and respectable persons the title Lord, so the Muslims gave the title Muluk to rich, respectable families that have intimate connections with the government. Thus, the title Muluk is found not only among the Muslims, but also among the Hindu aristocracy. The qualifications for receiving it are wealth and respectability. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 10:44, 84. Yeah, so the same kind of position. At this time, the three brothers, Santosha became known by his official title Dabir Kash, and Amir was called Shakir Malik. But despite their powerful positions, their only real joy in life lay in serving Krishna and his devotees. They made their wealthy estate a suitable place for remembering Krishna by planting groves of kadamba and other trees that grow in Vrindavan, the site of Krishna's pastimes, and by building replica of Krishna's favorite ponds, the sacred Radhakund and Shyamakund. The brothers also hosted many learned pandits, and discussions of the Bhagavatam and other shastras went on constantly in their assembly, meeting with Lord Chaitanya. The three brothers had heard about Lord Chaitanya, who was still living as a family man in Navadvip, and, despite feeling utterly unqualified, were eager to meet him. They considered themselves degraded and untouchable. Their father, Kumaradeva, had been so strict in his Brahminical principles that if he even saw the face of a meat eater, he would fast for the day. Now they found themselves paid servants of a meat eater, the Yavana king. Nonetheless, their enthusiasm impelled them to begin corresponding with Lord Chaitanya, and in one letter, the Lord encouraged them to be patient. Para Vyasani Ni Nari Vyagrapi Griha Karmashu Tad Eva Svadayat Yantar Navasanga Rahasyanam. Quote, if a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in household affairs, though within her heart always relishing the company of her paramour. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila 1:2:11. Soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, so that comes from Lord Chaitanya. I didn't know that. Because yeah, that one's used a lot. Rupa Goswami quotes that a lot. And it's always the example. Soon after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left home to enter the renounced order, he began traveling and preaching, often followed by large crowds. En route from Puri to Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya decided to stop in Ramakeli. Meanwhile, Hussein Shah received news that the sannyasi was creating a stir in the countryside. But by consulting with Dabir Kash and other ministers, the Nawab decided that Chaitanya was a worthy saint, or even God himself, and ordered that no one interfere with his doings. Still, Dabir Kash worried that Hussein Shah, capricious as he was, could change his mind and turn against Lord Chaitanya. Thus, in the middle of the night, Dabir Kash went incognito with Shakir Malik to warn the Lord of the potential danger. The two approached Lord Chaitanya with straws between their teeth as a sign of humility, bowed prostrate before him, and with plaintive prayers confessed their unfitness to receive his mercy. Sri Chaitanya showered them with affection and accepted them as his disciples by awarding them new names. My dear Dabir Kash, you two brothers are my old servants. From this day, your names will be changed to Srila Rupa and Srila Sanatana. Now please abandon your humility, for my heart is breaking to see you so humble. I really had no business in coming to Bengal, but I have come just to see you two brothers. Right? So he was going to Vrindavan, and so actually from Puri, you wouldn't go up.
Yes.
Right? It means that you could if you just want to go up the Ganga and then like yes, that. Yes. But actually it's quicker to go from Puri through how he went the second time.
Yes. In Jayaganda.
Yeah, go through Jayaganda. That's the quick way.
Yes.
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 1, 207 to 213. On this occasion, Sri Chaitanya also bestowed upon their younger brother the name Anupam. The three brothers, Rup, Sanatana, and Anupam, then made their plans to abandon their material life and join him. And they engaged Brahmins in performing purificatory rituals to help them quickly realize this hope. Soon, Rupa and Anupam loaded the bulk of their wealth on a large boat and left Ramakali for their hometown, leaving their senior brother Sanatana alone to deal with Hussein Shah. In case Sanatana might need emergency funds, Rupa deposited a large sum with a merchant in Ramakali and informed Sanatana about this in a letter. The rest of their wealth he distributed among the Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and their own family members. Okay, so it was just a portion. It was 10,000 gold coins. So that's what he just put aside is for that, you know. Because emergency is 1/4.
Yes.
You know, can be, it's a maximum. So then.
200 years later, when Nadir Shah attacked India, it is documented that when he went, he took a cart which is 150 miles long, worth of all gold and other things.
From where?
From India. He looted. So at that time, when Nawab Hussain Shah was the king of the richest part, they would have had much more wealth. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. No, it's amazing how much wealth is there. Because that's the thing, Krishna's energy expands. This idea that there's shortage, it doesn't actually exist. It just becomes shortage because of our karma. But otherwise, everything's always expanding. Krishna's expanding, so that means everything expands.
Okay. And also when it is not required, it conceals also. That guy who stole all the, looted everything, after he crossed Afghanistan, he died. He was killed by his general, and the whole money disappeared in Afghanistan. Even the British tried to get it. People are still searching for it.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't seem that Afghanistan had something, according to the history.
Okay.
It's not
obvious. In their caves somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rupa and Anupam got news that Lord Chaitanya was attempting to visit Vrindavan, and they started traveling in that direction. But then Lord Chaitanya was already on his way back from Vrindavan, and the brothers met him at Prayag. The story of their meeting is recounted Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 19, as well as in Srila Kavi Karnapur's Chaitanya Chandradaya. Rema Laper Dri Tatra Parish Shvanga Ranghai Prayage Tom Shri Rupa Samam Anupam Ena Nu Jagraha Devaha. At Prayag, the Lord bestowed mercy on Rupa and his brother Anupam, holding loving conversations with them and embracing them with wholehearted pleasure. Chaitanya Chandradaya 9:38. Okay. Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami for 10 days and blessed him with the power to disseminate pure devotional service. Afterwards, he promised that soon the brothers could visit him in Puri. While waiting to reunite with their brother Sanatana, Rupa and Anupam went to Vrindavan and took up lives of extreme renunciation and intense blissful meditation on Supreme Lord's pastimes. As the time approached for Lord Jagannath's cart festival in Puri, Rupa and Anupam started the long walk south. In 1514, during their journey, Anupam succumbed to illness and left his body on the bank of the Ganga. It is said that he ascended to the spiritual sky to the Ayodhya division of Sri Goloka. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, there is the following statement. Vallabha was given the name Anupam by Sri Gaurasundara, but he was always absorbed in the devotional service of Lord Ramachandra. He did not know anyone but Sri Ramachandra, but he knew that Chaitanya Gosai was the same Lord Ramachandra. Childhood. That's the thing, is they know because of the aspect there, is that who Lord Chaitanya is, and they're the same as their deity.
Yes.
It's just that, so they know Lord Chaitanya, in this case Ramachandra. They just don't know Radha Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the uniqueness of Lord Chaitanya's pastime. They're universal. In the meantime, childhood. In the meantime, Sri Jiva was growing into a remarkable young Vaishnava. The Bhakti Ratnakara intimates that Jiva Goswami had the fortune of receiving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct darshan during the latter's visit to Ramakeli. Sri Jivadi Sangopane Prabhu Ke De Kila. No older than three at the time, the vision of Lord Chaitanya left an indelible impression on his mind. We learn also from the Gauraganudesh Deepika that Jiva Goswami was the son of Vallabha and a scholar of exemplary character. Shushila Pandita Sriman Jiva Sri Vallabhat Majaha. From early childhood, Sri Jiva had no interest in childish activities. Narhari Chakravarti explains that, even while playing with friends, he was interested only in games related to Krishna. He made images of Krishna and Balaram and would worship them with flowers and sandalwood paste and dress and decorate them. He would gaze upon them with unblinking eyes, looking for all the world like a golden doll himself. Sitting motionless on the floor, when he paid obeisances to the deities, his eyes filled with tears, who would offer their lordship sweets and then take the prasad and distribute it to his friends. Bhakti Ratnakar 1:7:19-23. Moreover, Sri Jiva was deeply absorbed in his educational pursuits. Studying under the local pundits, he showcased prodigious aptitude for learning by mastering rhetoric, grammar, and poetry from a young age. All were amazed by his brilliance. Sri Jiva, however, was exceptionally fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. This, coupled with his keen intellect, left no doubt in his teacher's mind that he would grow up to be a great saint. However, Jiva's mind became distracted ever since his father and uncles left for Vrindavan. He abandoned his jewels and fine dress, his comfortable bed, and his various amusements. It was as though nothing interested him anymore. He could not bear hearing news of political and other material affairs. Bhakti Ratnakar 1:6:86-1:2:6:88. When he had learned that his father had left the world, Sri Jiva became extremely saddened. In a dream, he witnessed his own beloved Sri Radha Krishna assume the jubilant dancing forms of Nitai Gauranga, placing the dust of the lotus feet on his head. The two lords then disappeared. This vision greatly consoled Sri Jiva, who was anxious to leave behind his family life and adopt full-time service to Gornitai. He was hesitant to do this, however. As an only son, he was responsible for his widowed mother's welfare. Right, so Radha and Krishna become Lord Chaitanya, right? And then, not that, does that make sense? Yes, no?
Yes.
Means not that Krishna becomes Lord Chaitanya, Radharani becomes Nitai, or these kind of things. It means Apasampradayas will come up with all kinds of weird stuff. So Lord Chaitanya means Krishna, Radha and Krishna become Lord Chaitanya. Right? And then Balaram is Nitai. Does that make sense? No?
Yes, but what about Gadadhar? What's his position?
Gadadhar is Radharani, but because Lord Chaitanya is already taking her mood, she just is in the background and assisting. Because you can't separate Radha and Krishna, so she's always going to be there. Mm-hmm. But the point is, in a sense, that mood is being exhibited by Lord Chaitanya, by Krishna. She's come to assist, so she takes the background kind of place. Mm-hmm. So, Navadvipa pastimes. Friends suggested that Jiva go to Navadvipa to bathe himself in the coolness emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to mitigate the burning grief in his mind and heart. Accepting, Sri Jiva traveled to Navadvipa Dham. There, at the home of Srivas Pandit, Sri Jiva fell down at the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu, who blessed the boy with his foot dust and then embraced him. Sri Jiva swooned in ecstasy, seeing his love. Better to put dust from his lotus feet. You know, use our context rather than. Sri Jiva swooned in ecstasy. Seeing his love, Lord Nityananda's emotions welled up like an ocean tide. The two of them toured the nine islands of Navadvip, taking darshan of the holy places of the Lord's pastimes. This marked the beginning of the Navadvip Parikram tradition, still practiced to this day. Right, so then Bhaktivinoda Thakur then documents that in the, what is it?
Navadvip.
Yeah, Navadvip Mandal Parikram. Yeah. After keeping Jiva with him for some time, Nityananda Prabhu ordered him to join his two uncles, Sri Rupa and Sanata, in Vrindavan. Quote, "Yes, go soon to Vrindavan. That place has been awarded to your family, to your father and uncles, by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore you must go there immediately." Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila 4:2-34, Varanasi pastimes. On his way to Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami stopped for some time at Varanasi, India's crest jewel of scholarship and learning. There he studied Vedanta under the tutelage of Sri Madhusudana Vachaspati, a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Madhusudana Vachaspati was instructed in Vedanta after his guru's storied defeat at the hands of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. Thus, Sri Jiva mastered the same devotional conclusions taught by the Lord Himself. Okay.
He also learned the same conclusion.
Okay, in other words, Madhusudana Vachaspati was instructed in Vedanta by Sarvabhauma after Lord Chaitanya he had met. So therefore, then he came in the same like that. It's just the word storied. I wouldn't use that.
Historical? It's like maybe the word historical would be better.
That I'm not sure, but generally they use storied means that's what's, you know, everybody talks about in that. Whether it's true or not, it's another thing. Because the problem is on these, much of these things, unless it's coming from directly from an acharya or that, you'll get it from historians, and historians always somehow or another, they can't digest their evening meal, you know, unless they do something to it. Like, you know, just throw in that little twist.
Is it at that time that Jiva Goswami stopped for 20 years?
I'm not sure if it's 20 years he stopped there or his study of grammar and all that in his whole education was 20 years. I'm not sure. Does it say that he stayed here?
He didn't stay for many years there.
Okay, so that means that must have been before when he's growing up and he studied and then he studied more here. Because I had always heard it's 20 years.
Because after they left, like, he had this time for 10 years he was with mother overall.
Okay.
Because he has to, back and forth he was going, whether to go, stay back.
Okay. So then he was studying at that time. So, okay. Oh, so when he was three, when Lord Chaitanya came, and he stayed for another 10 years. So at 13 he went to Navadvip.
Because by the time he met Nityananda Prabhu, I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already left the world.
Okay. Additionally, it was in Varanasi that Sri Jiva deepened his command over Sanskrit and within a short period of time mastered the six systems of Indian philosophy, Sad Darshana. This vast erudition is made plain through his voluminous writings, which run circles around rival conceptions with ease. Concepts. Varanasi's top scholars were dumbstruck by Sri Jiva's uncommon brilliance. Upon completing his studies, Sri Jiva proceeded to Vrindavan, where he took shelter of his uncles, Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. You can also look at it as that depending on what it is that you have the Mahapurushas, then their progression is always 1.5 times faster. Right? So if you take 20 years, then that would actually just be, what is it?
30.
Yeah, so like that, like, yeah. Yeah, like that. So 13, so that would be 10 there and then another 3. So you can also, like that, depending on how it works out, you know. It's like Krishna's doing his pastimes as Kishore. But at the same time, as then if you get technical, he was actually only 8. You know, it's just the way things move. Right? Vrindavan pastimes. In Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami studied the esoteric principles of devotional service, bhakti tattva, as imparted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his dearmost disciples. Among other engagements, Jiva Goswami worked hard to assist his uncles. in writing transcendental literature. In particular, Srila Rupa Goswami depended on Jiva's help to edit and publish his numerous books. This was no small feat. According to Krishnadas Kaviraj, Sri Rupa's writings are said to number in excess of 100,000 original verses, all of which had to be painstakingly copied by hand. Yeah, we complain that we have to, you know, write down everything. Yeah.
We complain we have to type.
Type, yeah, yeah. Yes. Jiva Goswami also assisted his uncles in the work of establishing temples and revealing the holy places of Sri Krishna's pastimes. Srila Prabhupada remarks, quote, in Vrindavan, he established Radha Damodar Temple, where, after retirement, we had the opportunity to live from 1962 until 1965, when we decided to come to the United States of America. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 10:84. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, the deities of Radha Damodar are personally sculpted by Rupa Goswami on the order of Lord Chaitanya in a dream. Sri Sri Radha Damodar then expressed to Rupa Goswami the desire to be worshipped by his nephew. Srila Rupa Goswami spent his last days at Radha Damodar Temple being served by Jiva Goswami. I'm not sure is that... Is Radha Damodar, they're the like real small size deities. I think they're, when you come out of one of the gates, I'm not sure which it is, generally the main one that people go into to go to see Radha Govinda in Jaipur. When you come out of that, means if you go in that gate, if you turn around and come out, then on the corner, you know, on the opposite side of the street, on the right, that temple I think has the deities.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Where's the king's gate?
Yes.
Only the king goes through.
That's called the king's
gate. On that corner.
Yeah.
On the upper floor, deities are still.
Yeah, you have the big steps all the way up. Yeah.
And then the same building, that side, I think there was Radha Vinod Bhuti.
Yes. Yeah. You have just around. Most don't know about them, and then I think up one or two doors, there's some other one of the Goswami's deities. You know.
No.
No.
I forgot what it was.
Yeah, but there's like three deities all right on that corner. And then, what do you call it? Then Govindaji in the palace, and then, what do you call it? Gopinath up with the, what do you call it? To the Jaipur gopis. And you go in there, there's always these 60, 70-year-old Matajis there all day, singing for him, clapping, and dancing, and yeah. Preaching activities. After the disappearance of his uncles, it was Srila Jiva Goswami who shone like a brilliant sun, illuminating the world in their absence. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur comments in his Anubhashya to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Quote, after the disappearance of Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva was established as the topmost teacher of doctrine in the Sampradaya. He engaged everyone in the worship of Krishna through teaching the truths given by Mahaprabhu himself. Anubhashya 1:10:85. Jiva Goswami became the undisputed acharya for all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, Bengal, Orissa, indeed the world over. His word was considered infallible, and pilgrims traveled on foot the length and breadth of India for his audience. At that time, Jiva Goswami also established the Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha, the World Vaishnava Association. Now I know where you got the book. Vishnu Vaishnava Raja Sabha, World Vaishnava Association. Because I would say, Vishnu Vaishnava means that Vishnu is international. And Raja is Lord Chaitanya, you know, or Sri Krishna, so the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So.
Double meaning.
Each to his own, how they translate. And the Rupanuga Vidyapit, an educational faculty meant for the study of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's Rupa.
Yeah. get it
from. Now you know where you get that from. Yeah. Because he says Rupanuga Vidyapit, but it probably mentioned it was Sri Rupanuga Paramartika Vidyapit.
Which means?
Paramartika means transcendental. Or, you know, about the highest kind of knowledge. So, in other words, the highest knowledge given by Rupa Goswami.
Yes, yes.
An educational... Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami also credited with producing some of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism's most influential preachers. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Sri Shamananda Prabhu, Ramachandra Kaviraj, and Govinda Kaviraj, among them, among others. Though through these first three Jiva sent to Bengal, the collected manuscripts through... Shamananda, Ramachandra, and Govinda, and Srinivas Thakur. No, Govinda Kaviraj. What?
Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shamananda.
Oh, okay. Means that the first one, he's mentioning prominent scholars. Great, you know, great Gaudiya Vaishnava preachers. Okay, then the first three, then he sent the manuscripts, along with instructions to preach the religion of the holy names and love of Krishna. After the scriptures were stolen and subsequently recovered, the king of Vishnupur, Vana Hambira, was so moved by Srinivasacharya's devotion that he surrendered to him as a disciple, decreeing Gaudiya Vaishnavism as the official state religion. I think the Shaivites kind of felt uncomfortable, so then they all went to other parts of Bengal.
And I think during the time of Aurangzeb, all the devotees also shifted to this place.
Because okay.
The king and all, everybody was terrible.
Okay.
They established all the Gupta Vrindavan and all the... They have the same style of temples as in Vrindavan.
Okay. Jiva Goswami's fame also reached Agra, the seat of the powerful Mughal emperor Akbar. Akbar personally visited Vrindavan with the hopes of meeting this extraordinary ascetic. Although possessed of enormous wealth and influence, Akbar was humbled by the saintly character of Sri Jiva and his associates and became an ardent admirer. From then on, Akbar donated paper for a book publication and officially patronized the construction of magnificent Radhakrishna temples in Vrindavan. I even heard that Akbar had, maybe that's for there, but he had given paper when Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan because he had seen Rupa previously because they had a discussion they couldn't figure out which was higher, the Jamuna or the Ganga, like this.
Actually, Rupa Goswami was called to Delhi.
Yes.
Then Rupa Goswami put a condition, if you can bring me back the same day, then I'll come.
Okay.
So morning he went, participated in the discussion, by evening he's back.
He came back, yeah. I heard he gave him paper. So the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is actually written on paper, not on parchment. I mean, not on the leaves. So, you know, our acharyas were always on the cutting edge. Yes. Yeah, and then probably from that, then he wanted, they heard about Jiva Goswami and then went to Vrindavan. First he asked Rupa to come down, and then here he went to Vrindavan.
Maharaj, I heard from one devotee that this famous picture of Rupa Goswami.
Yeah.
When he's
sitting like this, yeah, yeah.
And this picture is published everywhere.
Yeah.
Actual picture in some museum in Delhi, it's like full picture where it's Akbar with his army offering obeisances. So this part is cut.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
He told me that you know, he saw this picture, you know, some original.
Wow. Okay.
So Akbar, you know, because the Muslims paying obeisances to the Indian saints, so it's not kind of politically correct.
Okay.
It's always cut off and it never shown in public.
Okay. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing what's actually there. You know, because what do you call it? How you say history is written by the victors, never by what necessarily happened. You know, not sure if it's Custer's Last Stand or something or There's some pictures like that, that there's some, you know, big battle and doing so much, and you know, they've run out of bullets and they're still just with their, you know, their gun, using it like a club and fighting until the last, like that. And then some historical thing from the what do you call it? Heard just a few years ago that in actuality they all came there and there was going to be this big battle with the big, huge, it was a big battle with the American Indians, and he came there, and by that time, you know, the Indians had some guns, you know, that they pick off all the other guys, and somehow or another, figured out, you know, by this time they know, you know, where the boss sits and where everybody else is, and so they figure out he's got, and somebody shot him right at the beginning. So he didn't even take part in the battle. He was already dead. And because he was dead, then there was no commander. And so then the whole thing broke up and the Indians easily defeated them all. Like that. So, you know, you have different, you know, what's actually happening. Yeah. So you have to...
That's one of Alexander. He came to India and then he just gave back the kingdom and went back. They say, yeah. Who will give back the kingdom? He was actually like equally defeated with on the border in Afghanistan.
So. Yeah, yeah. That was that. Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote that poem. There's some famous king. Can't remember what his name is.
They say the Porus.
Yeah, Porus.
Actually, in Sanskrit name or something.
Else. Yeah, something else. Yeah, that was probably what they called it.
They called them as Porus. Yeah.
Like that. I heard, Man Singh, who was his commander in chief, then he built Radha Govinda Temple.
Yeah.
Like that. So Akbar was somehow another. Of all the six, he wasn't so bad. He was, you know, at least he was, you know, let things go on nicely.
History was told as he patronized, he made a new religion.
Okay.
Encompassing all Muslims and Hindus.
Okay.
He made his own thing.
He made his own. I heard there were only two members, though. Him and, beer ball. No, because the Hindus didn't want to join and the Muslims didn't want to join, so it was just the two of them.
Birbal was the philosopher and he was the patronage.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Yes, it's well established. Yes. Literary legacy. Srila Jiva Goswami is perhaps best celebrated for his monumental literary accomplishments. As far as our information goes, Srila Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books, footnote 5. Srila Prabhupada lists his work as follows. 1. Harinamamrita Vyakarana. 2. Sutra Malika, a grammatical work dealing with the derivation of Sanskrit words. 3. Dhatu Sangraha, a work on Sanskrit verb roots. 4. Krishnarcha Deepika, a work on deity worship. 5. Gopal Virudavali, a short poem extolling the glories of Gopal. 6. Rasamrita Sesha, a work dealing with Sanskrit composition. 7. Sri Madhava Mahotsava, a work describing the coronation ceremony of Radha when she is given the position of Queen of Vrindavan. 8. Sri Sankalpa Kalpa Vriksha, an explanation of the eightfold daily pastimes of Radha and Krishna. 9. Bhavarta Suchaka Champu. 10. Gopala Tapani Tika, a commentary on the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. 11. A commentary on the Brahma Samhita. Oh yeah, that's right. Do we have that? The English is there? I saw someone was telling me about it. 12. A commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 13. A commentary on the Ujjwala Nilamani. 14. A commentary on the Yoga Sara Stava. 15. A commentary on the Gayatri Mantra as described in the Agni Purana. 16. A description of the Lord's lotus feet derived from the Padma Purana. 17. A description of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. 18. Gopal Champu in two parts. And 19-25, seven Sandarbhas. The Krama, Tattva, Bhagavat, Paramatma, Krishna, Bhakti, and Priti Sandarbha.
We are not going to study Krama?
We'll include that wherever necessary.
Yeah, it's included wherever it comes. So this is what he wrote, and then he was helping Rupa Goswami in his works. All these works total 400,000 verses, as stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chari Laksho Granta te, Tenho Vistar Karila. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 4.2.31. This output is equivalent to the 18 major Puranas combined, ranking Jiva Goswami second only to Srila Vyasadeva in Shastric prolificacy. No author from any tradition even comes close to this number of Sanskrit verses concerning transcendence. As testament to his remarkable abilities, is it said that whatever Jiva Goswami wrote, was first fully manifest in his mind, and once he committed a thought to writing, he never changed it. Right? So he just had to write it down. So he didn't have to go back, and it's not like, I think, what was his name? Hemingway? The last like paragraph, small paragraph, concluded one of his famous books. He rewrote it something like 56 times.
They say Maharaj Srila Prabhupada also did the same.
Yeah, he just spoke and that was it. And then they transcribed it and edited it. So see that there's
difference.
Huh?
There's a difference between Hemingway.
Him and?
Hemingway.
Yes. But you see, the acharya is just so nice that they would do. I think it was Jiva Goswami. You have the palm leaf, because you have two sides, right? And so you would write, you know, you have 1, 2, 3, 4. So the drawing, he would write on the first side and do verse 1, or whatever is on that page. Then the second palm leaf, he'd write verse 3. Then when by that time the first one's dry, he'd turn it over, then he'd write 2, and then turn the third one over, and then that's 4. So you didn't have to like that. Final pastimes. Toward the end of his manifest pastimes, Jiva Goswami had the honor of hosting in Vrindavan Srimati Janava Devi, the pleasure, potency, and consort of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Jiva Goswami was gracious to all the visiting Gaudiya Vaishnavas from Bengal. He would personally attend to their lodgings in Prasadam. You know, you have to get places to stay, but one of the things is there is you have to arrange rice. Like that, none of this chapati business for the Bengalis. So.
Even in Varanasi, Mahaprabhu gave that specific service to Tapan Mishra, who is the father of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami.
Oh.
Especially because they are going to Vrindavan, in Varanasi they have to cross to stay there and arrange rice
for the Bengalis when they come through.
Chalashekar Acharya.
Okay. In addition, he would often lead the devotees on Braj Mandal Parikram despite his advancing age. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami also wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita during Jiva Goswami's lifetime in close consultation with him. Sri Jiva Goswami lived in Vrindavan for 65 years. In Samvat era 1653, and so I say 1596 CE, on the third day of the bright fort moon in the month of Paush, this luminary disappeared from the vision of ordinary mortals and entered the unmanifest pastimes of Lord Krishna. Today his samadhi is located in the courtyard of Sri Sri Radhadamara Temple, while his bhajan kutir rests on the bank of Sri Sri Radha Kund. In the Gaurganga Deepika 195, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami is Vilasa Manjari Gopi, a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions the life of Srila Jiva Goswami. In a nutshell, in the 10 verses, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 4, 227 to 236, ending with the following prayers. These three, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, are my spiritual masters, and so also is Raghunath Das Goswami. I therefore offer prayers at their lotus feet, for I am their servant. Yes.
Regarding that CE, it's called BCE and CE. BCE means before common era, CE is common era.
So CE is for common. Okay.
Common era.
Okay.
It's not called BCE, it's called BCE.
BCE.
Before common era.
Okay. Outline of the Sandarbhas. The overall plan of the Sat Sandarbhas is as follows. The first, Sri Tattva Sandarbha, establishes the Sambandha in general terms by providing Srila Jiva Goswami's thesis that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most appropriate source of spiritual knowledge in Kali Yuga, and it thoroughly describes the absolute truth. The next three, the Bhagavat Paramatma and Krishna Sandarbhas, elaborate on the Sambandha through explanations given in Srimad Bhagavatam about the special character of the personality of Godhead, his relations with his manifold energies, and the most essential identity as Sri Krishna. The fifth, Sri Bhakti Sandarbha, presents the methods of devotional practice through statements from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the sixth, Sri Priti Sandarbha, discusses pure love of God according to the Bhagavatam. So then we have in Sambandha Tatso, Sambandha Abhideyam Prayojana. So in Sambandha Tattva Sandarbha, establishing Bhagavat epistemology and ontology. So epistemology is the
Praman.
What is your evidence? How do you establish what is evidence? What this comes from? And then ontology will be then how you categorize what is then based on that. So in other words, our epistemology will be that you have Pratyaksha Anuman and Shabda, with Shabda being the authority, and Anuman and Pratyaksha as their usefulness in as much as they're supporting the Shabda. Right? And then the ontology will be the Dasamur. Right? Just like the ontology in the Upanishads is Chitta Chit Ishwara, Sadhana and Sadhya. Like that. So it's the same thing, it's just that it's the Dasamul gives more detail in the Chitta Chit Ishwar, and then also brings out how they combine as some Achinta Veda Veda Tattva. So it's the same principle. Then two, Bhagavat Sandarbha, establishing that the Bhagavan feature of the absolute truth is the highest. Three, Paramatma Sandarbha, explaining Atma and Paramatma. Four, Krishna Sandarbha, establishing that Lord Krishna is the supreme aspect of the Bhagavan feature. So you're establishing the Bhagavan feature, so then you'll also see, I think in there also you must get the aspect of, where does Brahman come in?
Brahman is in the first, Bhagavat Sandarbha only.
Yeah, in Bhagavat, yeah, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he's dealing, he sometimes puts it that these three, you know, when it shows about the aspects of Krishna, how he's the Supreme Lord, how he's, you know, how you say the controller of all his energies, and then he is the Lord of Rasa, then he'll put the first as Brahman, second as Paramatma, and third as Bhagavan. Mm-hmm. So we see here is that is the same basic function is there, but they're establishing Bhagavan as the supreme of these three features of the Lord.
Yes.
Because otherwise, why learn about Brahman if you don't know this?
Just like we saw in notes on Bhagavad, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur put, first explaining the true vision, how to see the Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. And after that, the Paramatma Sandarbha mainly deals with the identity of the Jiva, how he has to relate with the Lord as the Paramatma. Mm. Then we go to now the Bhagavan feature, Krishna, the
Okay, very good. Nice. So we see it's always standard, it's always consistent, that's the thing. So then over the years we get used to it, and then it becomes, we start to be able to think like that.
That's called ontology, isn't it? That's the
chronology. Yes, so the ontology is there. Because the epistemology is that means you have, you have Shabda, so it's based on the authority of the Veda, right? Mm-hmm. And as we've given it, it has to be handed down from there. So we're hearing from Apta, from the, so the Shabda is there, the Shruti. Then Smriti is the great sages and all that, great personalities. That's where the Smriti Shastra is. So like Bhagavatam, it's spoken, it's a discussion between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. Mm-hmm. So then they're Aptas. Like that. Then we have the commentaries of the acharyas, their aptas. Then we hear from those devotees that can explain it in line with the direction for us given by the founder acharya. Right? So like that. So it's always coming from there. That's then shabda. Then the anumana is then we try to, apply that through manana into what we're doing. So that you can actually see it and use it with your senses. Because devotional service means the senses are applied in the Lord's service. So you have to be able to see the philosophy that's been heard in a practical way that you can apply it with your senses. So that's what we use. Now there's 10 positions of this epistemology that will be dealt with. But what is shown is that of these 10, 7 of them are already contained within these 3. Right? So basically, what it comes down to is the different philosophies, their epistemology is which one are prominent, like that, how many there are, because they take a subdivision as very important that they elevate it up to, that it's on that same category. So, like for Nyaya, Gotama, he accepts 4. So that means one of those 7 becomes elevated up, so now you have 4 main and then 6, subsidiary. Others will have different prominence and like this. Does that make sense? And then, depending on your ontology, that will all have their all things. But we just stick to the Dasamul, and then when we want to deal with others' philosophy, then we'll use the Upanishadic, like that. Because then it's very easy. What's their concept of God? What's their concept of the jiva? What's their concept of the material world and that relationship? And then understanding that, applying that, what is their process of elevation and being elevated, then what is their relationship, what is their ultimate goal and their relationship with the Supreme on attaining the, how you say, their goal. Like, you know, in some, then the goal is heaven, and when they, you know, by being good, they follow God's laws. You know, and what do you call it? Deal with others nicely, and material world is given by God for us to use. Not so much that it belongs to Him, but it's, you know, ours. And then when we get to that perfectional stage, then God's there at the gate. We walk by Him. You know, I'm not sure if we wave or anything as we go by. And then we walk into heaven, and that's the last we ever hear about God. He's probably after that. Or maybe Peter's there before that to get him to the auditioning. Yeah. But the point is God's there in the big chair. You walk by, and that's it. Then they go into heaven. And so that's the whole point. That's why you have to know what's the relation with God after you come to that. Like the Mayavadis, you're worshiping God, and then it all becomes nothing. That you are God. So the Buddhist, then there's nothing at all. Not that you become God. There's just nothing. You understand? So that's why by this structure you can understand everybody's philosophy. So that's why it's important to understand what is epistemology and ontology. Because that's how it all works. Yeah. Okay. Sri Tattvasandarbha, introduction. So that was the outline of the 6 sandarbhas. Okay. According to Vishvakosha, probably put a
dictionary.
Yeah, or put a comma or something. Yeah, dictionary. Tattva means a type of philosophy. The real nature of an object or paramatma. Sri Tattvasandarbha is the first of the 6 sandarbhas composed by Srila Jiva Goswami. It consists of 63 divisions or sections called anuchedas, composed mostly in Sanskrit prose. While Jiva Goswami did not specifically indicate this division, scholars consider the text to be divided into 3 parts. 1. Mangalacharan, text 1-8, invocation of auspiciousness. Or invocation auspiciousness of something. Okay. 2. Pramanakanda, text 9-28. That means these are texts or these are the Anuchedas?
Anuchedas.
So then you should put there, because is it just verses 1 through 8? Or it's Anuchedas?
Anuchedas 1 through
8. Then you should change that to Anuchedas, yeah. 9 to 28, Bhagavat epistemology, the source of valid knowledge, where you get it from and how the Bhagavat is the, since it's Shastra, and then the top of that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's the supreme epistemological authority. Right? Then 3, Prameya Khanda, text 29 to 63, Bhagavat ontology, the knowledgeable objects of knowledge, the knowable objects of knowledge. So how we're categorized, what's knowable. So then that means how the Dasa move. Lord Chaitanya is then giving the Dasa move, because it's his philosophy. Sri Jiva's Mangalacharan consists of the first 8 Anuchedas of his treatise. As Tattva Sundarbha begins, right? So you see the Mangalacharan, many write in just one verse or a few verses, but here you see it's 3 sections. Like that. So also, what's his name? Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, I think it's 17 verses in his, and then he spends, you get how many chapters? Then explaining them?
Six,
including the first.
Yeah, explaining the first.
Yeah, then explaining the whole thing. So then 6 chapters just explaining that. So Jiva Goswami would have the verses and their explanations all within these Anuchedas. As Tattva Sundarbha begins with an introductory invocation in which the book's content is found in seed, similarly the entire Tattva Sundarbha is in one sense an introduction itself. It contains in seed Sri Jiva's entire treatise consisting of 6 essays commonly known as Satsandarbhas. The Pramana Khanda of the Tattva Sundarbha is a search for truth. Much as the 6 systems of Vedic philosophy, Saddarshanam, begin with Nyaya, so too do the Satsandarbhas begin with establishing their logical foundation. Because he's presenting it as Nyaya Prashnan, as evidence given through the medium of logic. Because if you do that, then all the scholars will agree and accept it. The Pramana Khanda thus serves as the epistemic portion for the remainder of the Sansarvas. Quote, before we can elucidate these topics, we must first settle the question of Praman, the reliable means of ascertaining facts, Tattva Sundarbha 9. Right, so before we can establish what is knowable, you have to know how to know what is there. What's the authority for that? Right? And amazingly enough, it wasn't the internet. Believe it or not. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.